excellent. Here we are, the first midweek drive of November 2017, and the chairs are still as creaky as ever. It's all good. It's wondrous. But we can actually launch with the official salvo, which takes us all the way to Jersey.
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the midweek drive.
So, how have you been, Anna, since last we spoke 3 English weeks ago?
Oh, you see, Twickenham is where my heart lies, but now I'm back here, things are revving up, and I've just heard that my son has saved someone's life, someone who fell out of a rib and has gone out. He just chucked himself in the bath. He managed to drag the man out of the sea onto a slipway where some paramedics are waiting. So it's been a bit dramatic the last couple of days, really.
Yeah, I mean, Shaylee, I think it's fair to say we need to just rewind a little bit on that.
Sorry, what? What, Anna? Your son saved somebody's life.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. You've
got to ease us in. You can't just say it.
So, just talk us through the whole scenario of how, Anna, your son has become a superhero.
Right, well, he was lurking around an area where there's a cafe and a seawall, and he saw this man in a dinghy, a sort of inflatable thing, where half the dinghy was deflating and the guy fell into the sea and obviously couldn't swim because he was waving his arms in the air looking distressed. And without thinking too cleverly, because he had a phone, thankfully, that's waterproof, he went straight into the sea and managed to get the guy out of the sea and drag him off to the only thing he lost in all this was a pair of socks, which is a relief, really. But the guy was actually not too bad. He just didn't know how to swim and he'd gone out to sea, which is a bit stupid, really, at this time of day. But this only happened about half an hour ago. So, you know, the advice of anybody going out in a dinghy or rib at this time of day is just not a clever thing, especially if the thing's got a puncture.
I think that deserves a midweek drive. Round of applause. Round
definitely.
Applause,
well done.
Woo! Tell him when he's out the bar.
The only thing I would actually say when you share that story on social media and various other things, don't say your son was lurking around.
It could be taken the wrong way.
I mean, we know that Batman can lurk in the shadows dealing with miscreants and so on, and clearly he would save a life, but then he's a fictional character. Okay,
so maybe loitering rather than lurking. Maybe loitering is not quite as bad. It's not perfect.
It's not, but I mean, I just think your son happened to find yourself in the right place at the right time.
The right time, exactly.
It's probably the best.
You know,
I mean, it's an image thing, basically. I mean, image is vital to so many bits and pieces. So, as you said, back from Twickenham. Anything you'd like to do to formally welcome Christine and Rebecca to the Midweek Drive show now that we're 5 minutes into it? Yes, just after 5 past 5, English time, British time, Greenwich Mean Time.
To say it's all for a good cause, and Siren FM has a lot going for it, and I think they can contribute a great deal to the cause. So keep going, girls.
Thank you.
Yeah, you always say that's the clear sort of line from that perspective. It's great. And Shaylee, any further questions or queries you'd like to put to Anna about life, the universe, or indeed her mind-blowing photographs of the last surviving tribes on Earth that she's just decided to share with us on her Facebook update?
First of all, interesting. You'll have to show me those, Alex. Second of all, how come you were in Twickenham, Anna?
Well, Alex and I went to the same college many years ago that's now at Mary's University, Twickenham. And that's how we got to know each other, when I went with Alex to Dulwich and St Francis Hospital. No, it's a hospital in Dulwich for hospital radio. That's how we met. And I cannot leave Twickenham. My heart has been there, even though I'm ancient now. The dream is to retire and put my feet up and walk along the river till I drop. So that's why I go back every 2 or 3 months, just to recharge my batteries. And
oh, that's really cute.
Aww. Yeah.
Curious, but there we have it, you see. I would have thought surely Jersey is the key thing. Although, indeed, as Christine, you said, Jersey, America. No, Jersey, Channel Islands. I take it, then, you've never headed from West London to Jersey and the Channel Islands.
No, I've never heard of it before. Mm. They have the best milk.
You wouldn't want to.
And pray tell, Christine...
Bergerac is...
Listen, there's no point making that reference. I would be amazed if any. I mean, you've got an Italian, you've got a West Londoner, you've got a lady born in South Africa, Scottish, and basically in Lincoln. They're not going to get Bergerac.
Sorry, what's the Italian connection? Because my mum was Italian.
Rebecca.
Where in Italy?
Hi there.
Hi, ciao.
Ciao. So my family is from the north of Italy in Val d'Aosta, Aosta Valley in the north. And, yeah, where's your family from? Where's your mum
from? Yeah, my family comes from near Pordenone, which is in the Friuli district. It's north of Venice on the borders of Yugoslavia.
Have you ever visited it before?
I went there last year to see my cousins. I don't go often because it's awkward to get to. You have to go to Venice and then get the Corriera to Sacile, and then you pick up another taxi to the tune of 50 quid to get there. But it's a beautiful area. But the village is empty. I mean, I don't know what the villages in Val d'Aosta are like, but where my mum comes from is where there are lots of American GIs.
Yes.
It's like the AFIs. They've got AFI written on the cars.
Yep.
And it's a base. It's a military base for Americans. It's near Aviano, which is where my other cousin lives. But it's a beautiful part of the world. It's so beautiful. I mean, the countryside and the mountains are just breathtaking. Really beautiful. Do you miss Italy?
Definitely, but I'm really fitting in well here, and I'm adjusting just fine. The people are really kind and helpful. I was actually at Morrison's just the other day on Sunday, and it had already been closed. And a lady, the lady says, "Oh yeah, it closes at 4 p.m. Maybe you can go to Tesco Express." And she was really helpful, and it made it just so nice and made me feel so comfortable here. So that's really good.
And clearly, other supermarkets are available, but Rebecca, just feel free to actually identify those in awesome anyways. It's wonderful stuff there. Rebecca, in terms of the choice of Lincoln University as opposed the University of Lincoln as opposed to Italy or indeed any other British university, what was the thinking behind that?
Definitely the actual course that I was interested in, which was public relations. I couldn't find something that I really wanted in other places actually in the world, to be honest. And Lincoln University was one of the main universities that came up on the UCAS site that I identified as something that I would like to do. So, yeah, that was definitely the main reason. And after some other deeper research, I found that it was the perfect choice for me.
And here we are halfway through your first term here.
Yes.
Or as I like to say, you've almost completed a quarter of your first year.
Yeah.
How is it shaping up?
Excellent so far. I'm really enjoying everything, and actually, today just went to the careers fair and also involved in the PR Signet Club, so society, and that's going really well. I'm really enjoying the well-rounded experience that I'm experiencing so far.
Splendid. It's almost the perfect answer in many ways.
I like it, yeah. Exactly. How many times did you rehearse that?
None at all, really.
And Christine, similar thoughts for yourself? I mean, what you'd expect? I mean, obviously West London, from that rural environment of West London and the sort of very calm-like London scenario to the hype and busy metropolis that is Lincoln. Thoughts from yourself?
Definitely a bit of away from home, but it's the same with Rebecca. I couldn't find anything that was just purely public relations. It was almost like other courses were with something else. So I came to Lincoln and the city was beautiful. Like, that was probably one of the main.
I've always tried to ensure that, like Torquemada in the Spanish Inquisition, we have pure public relations. We can't be dealing with any of this contaminated brand stuff, etc. Only kidding. We work through public relations and communications in a wonderful, specialist, wholesome way. That's the important thing. It's all good stuff there. Right, Shaylee, would you like to put those last two questions to Anne Lewis, please, before we head up to Edinburgh to find out what William Coles has been getting up to?
No worries. Anna, have you enjoyed the telephonic link with us today?
I have, thank you very much.
And will you be back next week with more stories?
I'd be absolutely delighted. Thanks for the offer.
'cause I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this heart is blue. I'm still in love with you. I want to see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this heart is
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
See, it was the breathlessness that we need to get into the voiceover artiste to get that delivery around, because Shaley, you may, if you caught the show last week, have heard William was actually getting a little bit antsy. He was saying, "Look, I've been doing these shows now a couple of years, still haven't got an official ident." So the pressure was on. I know, Shaley, yours will be coming.
Me?
Yeah. It'll
me and William will go to another radio station, Alex.
Sorry, there are other radio stations? And because it was so breathless, I think, William, would you like to hear it one more time?
Yeah, I would, please, yeah.
Okay.
How excited he is.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
I thought that was very important to get the prehistoric shark's teeth
like
in
it,
there.
Yeah.
It's very good. Anyway, there we are, William. I can even send
well,
you...
Well, I am grossly flattered.
You just have to ask, and sometimes the magic and the insightfulness will actually work itself, and there you have it.
Right. Who wrote the script? Was it you?
I may have had some hand in the actual construction of the words, but it's just all
very nice. Well, I'm charmed. Yeah. I'm charmed. Nobody's ever done a jingle for me before.
Oh, William, well, there we are, you see. It had to happen one of these days, and Shaylee will receive hers as well in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure. It's just we're kind of still waiting to be inspired. It's all right. Sorry, Shaylee. We'll work our way through that. Curiously enough, the voiceover artist who did that for you, good self, Philip Hurdwood, does have a tale about how he encountered shark's teeth as well, which he's going to share with us on the programme next week, which is nice.
All right. My shark's teeth, or...?
I presume they're his own, but who knows?
Right.
Let's progress. William, where in Edinburgh do we find you today?
You find me in the walking down the Royal Mile, which connects the castle with the palace down the bottom.
Excellent. Now let's just put this to our midweek drive team. I suspect. Shaylee, you will have actually been to the Royal Mile.
Yes, I have indeed. Yes, yeah.
So you know exactly of where he speaks and so on, which is very good. Christine Green there, but of course it's Christine Parry.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Clearly I should get this thing sorted through this whole system. Christine, have you ever actually moved from London to Edinburgh? Indeed, even been to Scotland?
No.
I didn't think you would have been. Why would you? I mean, let's face it, it's another country up there. So, but you know, we're going to find out in a few moments why William might sort of think you should take that journey. Because I think, William, you were a southerner before indeed you married into the Scottish clans and ended up living up there. It's a bit more romantic than that. And originally from northern Italy, Rebecca Duncan, have you ever been to Scotland?
Actually, yes, I have, on vacation with my parents. And actually, my last name, Duncan, it's actually a Scottish last name, so...
Well,
yes.
This is the unanswered question that for the first 20 minutes of this production, people have actually been saying, Rebecca Duncan, she's Italian, but Duncan is not really like Mancini or Ancelotti or any of those Italian-sounding names. So,
I'm a little bit of a citizen of the world, you could say. I was actually born in South Africa. And
strange how those, there's a connection between that and the midweek drive. Richard Fitzwilliam, Shaylee McKenzie,
yes.
Rebecca
we're
Duncan.
We're just everywhere.
Exactly.
So it's a little bit of a mix. And my dad actually is originally, well, his father was originally from Scotland. And that's where the Scottish connection comes from. But I don't have any living Scottish relatives that I know of. But I could do, but I think it's just really...
You've probably got some third cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is your task for the next 7 days, William, to find out Rebecca Duncan's Scottish ancestry. No, I'm only kidding. We know you're a key genealogist when you're not actually investigating and doing research into your latest novels, but that's a whole part of life. So, Rebecca, the Edinburgh Royal Mile, a bit like Shaylee, do you know pretty much, can you picture where...
Yes, big, beautiful buildings, lovely architecture. That's what I think of when I think of the Edinburgh Royal Mile.
She's just so positive, Rebecca Duncan. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, what about the Tom Tat shops? Don't you remember them?
No.
There are the Singh brothers, who now call themselves Gold Singh, have basically bought up every single decent shop on the Royal Mile, and they have filled them up with tartan tat, selling a whole lot of kilts and that sort of junk that are made in China. And that's all there is. It's just a whole lot of stuff for tourists.
You see them everywhere. I've recently been to Bath and they've got shops like that, and it's just what sells, unfortunately.
There are many people, actually, who probably spend their entire lives looking for tartan tat.
And that's where they find it.
And, you know, probably in West London there are lots of people who actually want some tartan. Isn't that right?
Yeah, like, if you go into central, like Leicester Square, you have those shops.
You
that,
do.
Like, yeah, that
exactly.
sell.
Lots of tartan things there. Things. Because let's face it, the Scots in London, they love it so much. Ever since the 1970s, really, when they were sort of swinging on the Wembley posts and so on. Anyway, sorry, a reference there, which was before all three midweek drivettes on the programme today were actually born. But never mind, they can still read about it or YouTube it in history. William, any questions you'd like to put to either Christine Parry from West London, or indeed our ace Italian public relations level one student, Rebecca Duncan.
All right, yes, I have a slight moral dilemma, and I'd like their verdict on it. It was a small practical joke that I've done this weekend with my younger son, aged 12, and you can be the jury to decide how naughty it was. What we were doing was making some golfers very happy. We went to the Braid Hills Golf Club, and the second hole there is uphill, and it's about 130 yards, and you can't see the hole when you're driving off. And two boys were in the bushes, and me and my friend were 300 yards away watching it all with walkie-talkies. And after the shots had been done, we would give the boys the all clear, and they would scuttle onto the green and put the ball, one or two balls, into the hole. So the golfers would come up and think they'd got a hole in one.
Now, let's just, because I think we need a bit of a music bed for this, so we'll just talk this through. It's a bit like that show on BBC Radio 2, I think it's Simon Mayo, he has confessions time on this. So, I mean, the responsibility that's given to both Shaley and to Christine and, indeed, Rebecca, is quite phenomenal in this, because it's on their shoulders as to whether you think it's a forgivable offence or an unforgivable offence. So just to set that scene once again, golf, sacred, of course, to Sean Connery and to the wonderment of Scotland. You were teasing with your children, with your sons, the actual participants in this golf scenario.
Yes, we were. Well, we were making them think that they'd got holes in one, and then they'd walk off and celebrate. And we did. We gave them all about 15 holes in one, and then we went back home, and no one was any the wiser. These men, mostly men, were going to be remembering that day for the rest of their lives.
But not if they're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. I mean, if they were performing in that particular
aspect. Yes, we hope not. Yeah, if they've been listening to that, then we're done for. But I don't think many of them will be.
It's be Siren Radio, all sorts of... Shaley, forgive or no forgive?
100% forgive. And also, next time, please send me an invitation.
So that you can take part in the whole thing, right?
Exactly. Yes,
okay.
I feel like it needs to be more coordinated for maximum effect.
So even though effectively you're providing the momentary joy and happiness of people thinking they've got a hole-in-one in golf, actually they were nowhere near.
We will always know what happened that day.
Christine Perry, forgive? No, forgive.
I mean, you definitely need to lock them up, throw away the key.
Not forgive.
No. It's made them happy, you know. There's nothing wrong with making people happy. Mm. So, forgive.
It was a cheeky joke,
but it could easily be forgiven.
Okay. Hey, that's a result. Am I going to get a clean sweep?
Rebecca.
I would say that it's definitely to forgive, because I think that you made some golfers very happy and maybe made them more confident in their playing. Maybe they will do even better by themselves next time because of their confidence.
Yeah, sure, and you should have seen their victory celebration. I mean, they were all going screaming and dancing, and yeah, they loved it.
Right then, fair enough. It's a result as far as William Coles and the family is concerned. William, what can I say? I mean, I feel you've had your reward with respect to the jingle. I can't turn around and say it wasn't meant for you, William, because it had your name on it. So great stuff on that particular perspective. The night's drawing in now, clearly, as the clocks have gone back in the British Isles. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I've loved it. I've been forgiven. I've got a jingle. My cup runneth over.
Well, that's great then. Will you be back again next week?
Just as soon as you ask me, yes. Thank
you. There we are. Yay, Jason Whittaker and William Coles on the same programme. Quite amazing. Up next, hopefully from San Diego, Arthur Weingarten. Say bye-bye, William.
Cheerio. Someday.
away in time it may be, but with the clocks going back in Britain and staying the same in the States as they haven't fallen back as yet, it's coming around to 29 and a half minutes past 10 a.m. in San Diego, whereas here, of course, it's 29 and a half minutes past 5 p.m. in the evening, which means it's quite simply time to actually go down the line of the legend who is...
The Addams Family. Wonder Woman. The Green Hornet. Bonanza. Murder, She Wrote. The Mod Squad. Honey West. Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
And we are, Arthur. Every time you join us, it's just part and parcel of the rich tapestry.
Thank you.
I've got to ask the question, how's the weather in San Diego?
The clouds are about 3.5 feet over my head.
Oh.
we have an inversion, and because we're right on the ocean here where we live, the clouds come in and hang around at this time of year till about noon. And then, of course, it's blazing sun. It's, as people say, same old, same old.
Yeah.
So well, there it is. Not bad. Not bad.
Given that it was only a matter of hours ago that the President of the United States was engaging in his usual annual trick or treat, I wonder if the children actually had difficulty wondering who to dress up as when they were actually attending the White House. It's extraordinary, really. You know, do I go as Freddy Krueger, Batgirl, or Donald Trump? It's a difficult one to actually go through, but still. Shaley, clearly you're ahead of the game there. Well, we'll sort it through there. Here we go. Quick introductions, Arthur, because we have two new Midweek Drivettes, one from West London, one from Italy, and indeed Shaley, of course, who remains from Lincoln via Scotland and South Africa. I shall introduce you formally now to Christine Perry.
Hey.
Hello, Christine. Hello.
And to Rebecca Duncan.
Hi there.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Arthur, when you were over here doing a whole range of things with Murder, She Wrote and such like stuff, did you ever manage to sort of say, I'm going to go to Italy and check out parts of Italy as well?
As a matter of fact, both Annette and I love Italy, and we spent a lot of time there, both separately and together. And I once tried to do a series there with Rye, and it didn't work out. But I remember it very fondly because the men and women there were just terrific, absolutely wonderful.
Rai, yeah. Of course, RAI being the Italian equivalent of the BBC in many ways, the central state broadcaster.
Yes, yeah.
Was Berlusconi in charge of RAI for a time, or was that another one entirely?
No. I don't know. I was going to say, thank goodness, no. Yeah, but I have a feeling that I would have liked that. I would have enjoyed that.
extraordinary. Arthur, any questions you'd like to put to Rebecca, who's in the first year of her public relations course? I threw her an electronic invite yesterday because she's impressed me the last half term of work here. Is she coming along to sit in on the show? And already I think it's fair to say, Shaley, she's carved her niche as Midweek Drivette, really.
Definitely.
As indeed, of course, as Christine.
Thank you.
But
I'm going to ask a question which I hope she will not find importuned, but I've often thought of it lately about PR because, of course, I was in my working life very intimately involved with publicity and PR. Mm-hmm. But in today's world, I find it has been, if not perverted, so far off the course. For example, how would you handle if President Trump would become one of your clients?
Nice choice.
That's a good question. I think that's not really the field that I'm interested to go into because of the fact that, well, it's difficult to work with someone who has that type of reputation in the public eye. I think public relations is all about representing a specific image to the public, and whether it be a positive one or a negative one. So obviously, President Trump's public relations team is working around the clock to give him a specific reputation to the public,
Well, that's where they're not being fired by him, presumably.
Exactly. And, well, it's questionable on what methods they use or in what ways they are bringing his name to the public, whether it be with, you know, these crazy tweets.
Yes,
or,
but
or...
I'm asking you, mm-hmm. I know the lies they tell.
Mm-hmm.
That we all know that. I'm asking you, I'm putting you on the spot.
For me,
what
as a
would you
person,
do
mm-hmm.
In order to earn your living
yes.
in PR, which is what you hope to do, obviously,
mm-hmm.
what would you do if a person like Berlusconi or Trump came mm-hmm. with the baggage that they bring with them? What would you do as a PR person?
Well, that's, as I said, good question, but for me personally, ethics comes before all, and I would not put myself in a position where I would have to do something like that or represent someone who does not share the same morals and ethics as I do. If I wasn't someone like that, I think I would just, I guess...
Take money.
Yes, take the money, do what they ask, but that isn't who I am, and that's not something I want to do.
But put a full stop after your first part, because, bless you, that's what I was hoping you would say. I've been looking for the youth to get us out of this mess.
Arthur, you should know by now, over the years, we act to ensure that only the best actually cross those ethical boundaries to become a midweek driver. So that's very important.
Well, there you are. I found that to be true. But no, thank goodness you said that. Yes.
And same question for yourself, Christine. What would your response be?
Me? Yeah, definitely the ethics. He
really? Several six-figure salaries?
if you're asking, gun to my head, I have to take the job.
Mm-hmm.
As a
unfortunate choice given unfortunate the American gun choice. Laws, but never mind. I can appreciate that.
Then, as a PR person, I'd have to remove my feelings and how I feel from the situation and focus on my work. At the end of the day, I go home, and that's not the person I am, but then that's...
Slight waver.
That's not the
best. Shayla, somebody's considering...
I'm afraid in a court of law, no matter what country you're in, except Russia probably, or China, that you cannot divide who you are yeah. into clock hours.
Mm. Shayla, if somebody's considering doing some postgraduate PR material, where would you sit on this one?
So personally, his views on... Yeah, I just can't even think about being in the same room
really?
As him, never mind being the person
and
too much of a feminist to be able to even interact with a gentleman, with a person who thinks the way he thinks, unfortunately. So the answer would be no. No matter how many millions you could offer me, there'd be no amount.
Can't quite
he
imagine.
Wouldn't pay you anyway. He'd offer it, but he'd never get the check. So
I can't quite imagine.
But isn't it interesting? Here are three young people, and we have to, the future belongs, as Jacques Brel said, that on the street where the future gathers, that's the young people. And all three of your exemplars have said the same thing, which I hope they would, of course, you know. But look how interesting. Now the Weinstein expose has reached Britain. Three or four prosecutions are being assembled there for his actions in that country and here. And how
and Kevin
it
Spacey
has sprung.
As well.
Kevin,
yeah.
Yes, I was just going to say Kevin Spacey. And, I mean, the tentacles are reaching out all over the world. And I am not uncertain. Annette has always said, and I would laugh now and then when she applies it, the butterfly effect to ethics around the world, that the wings that flap in Indonesia will end up in San Diego one day, either for good or ill. And I'm finding that what the Weinstein and the Trumps and the Berlusconis are setting off vibrations around the world, all to the good, thank goodness, so that where you look for darkness, there is some light.
Well, it's fair to say that all aforementioned folk have blown their chances of being invited on Madrid Drive. I'm sorry, but that's it.
That's it, you're done. You're out.
Exactly. And I was considering Harvey. No. Step away from the whole thing. Yeah, interesting, Dan. And I think you're absolutely right, Arthur. We do have to look at the positive side of things, because as you rightly said there, Shaley, the Kevin Spacey scenario, it's not good. Not good at all.
I think it was just the way he handled it and used his sexuality sort of as justification, perhaps. And
yes, yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Okay, because it's just not okay.
Exactly.
Exactly. And you know, the sadness is, here is a talented guy. Yeah, and that wasn't enough for him. Forget, I'm not talking about the sexuality. The fact that he could not live up to an image of himself and had to hide behind something which now harmed a whole bunch of people around the world, you know, through a negative net over that, to save himself. And it's sad. It's really sad.
Mm. There definitely needs to be something done more early on for things like this that occur throughout industries like this, like the music industry as well, fashion industry 100%, yeah, where this, it doesn't take this long for something like this to get out into the media. There needs to be, Julian Assange needs to come back and just let it all out.
He's still in
yes.
the embassy somewhere.
Yeah,
Anyway, it's interesting cultural times we're living in, as the ancient Chinese curse would often be said, Arthur, and we shall just have to continue setting a beacon of light around for the whole thing, which is it's very good from that perspective. That's almost brought us round to the end of your particular November slot, apart from saying, what are you planning for Thanksgiving this time around, Arthur? Because when next we speak...
Well, we are going... We are taking a hour and a half drive north to Los Angeles to have dinner with my daughter.
Excellent.
And her husband and son. And that's always to look forward to.
And as I say, it won't be too long before we will be connecting with you again, probably post-Thanksgiving. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
I have had always more than reasonable. You're too modest.
We do our best, effectively. Yeah. And will you return in the very near future? Probably just immediately after
Thanksgiving? I hope so, and have your delightful guest there. And I'm sorry if I put you on the... Was it Rachel I put on the spotlight?
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
She's Italian.
Rebecca. I'm sorry, Rebecca. Yes.
No,
yeah,
it was
Rebecca.
A great question.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, but you acquitted yourself brilliantly. So
oh,
there
thank
you are.
Very much.
I mean, quite seriously, I found all of your answers very enlightening and hopeful for the future.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Well, we always need hope. A little place south of despair.
Yeah.
Only kidding. Life continues. Here's Casey Musgraves.
just do me, and honey, you can just do you. So
from the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, we welcome now, with great excitement, Ed Fortune. How are you, Ed?
I'm not too bad. How are you, sir?
Very good indeed. We've been kind of welcoming two new Midweek Drivettes, and Shaylee's been with us because it's not that we've lost the others. They'll be very careless. They're doing various other sort of lines, etc. Well, you know, you can't afford in fact, Natasha Armstrong should be joining us in the second part of the programme, all the way from her place in Newark. She's fine before she goes off to Japan. Shaylee McKenzie is still with us. Very eagerly looking forward to visiting Manchester, hopefully in March.
So, I've been waiting a good couple of months.
Waiting since it was actually in September. You know, so who knows what could happen on that one. But we've also got Rebecca Duncan and, for a few more moments at least, the wonderful Christine Perry. Although I think she was on the phone to her agent recently. So
hello.
Hi there.
Now, I know that you always like the little game that we play, Ed, where we actually give you a little line from one of the actual Starburst magazines, and you've got to identify exactly what it was all about. So are you ready for this line which he's going to tie you into? Can you identify the article?
If I were Ed, I would absolutely despise this game. Because if he got it wrong, it looks bad on him. He's the editor.
I'm a literary editor. Exactly. I'm not the editor.
Exactly. Exactly. That's Jordan, brackets Mike, voice, who's been for this. So, you know, so no pressure, but we know he's going to do it.
No pressure, but get it right.
Your line, Ed, is, it's unlikely because it's a very big production. It's unlikely because it's a very big production.
Blimey, that could be any number of
unlikely because it's a very big production. I'll pass the article over to...
features on the Punisher, probably the features on the Justice League.
I'll give you a clue. You wrote this, okay?
Oh, did I now? Oh, okay, that helps.
This is exactly what I meant.
and we could actually think, all right, big clues here. Brighton and Manchester. Manchester, Brighton. It's unlikely because it would be a very...
Of course, it's the Jeff Noon interview.
Yes. Excellent.
You see, we knew he'd get there in the end.
He was completely lovely, actually.
Exactly. You know, Jeff Noon, of course, being a fantastic author who just creates a whole new experience for going from light worlds to dark worlds to a whole range of other factors as well, which is marvellous. And
he's talking about the stage play, if memory serves, at that point.
Oh, yes.
It all comes flooding back to me, but of course for me that was 2 issues ago.
This is so true. So. Exactly. You're already celebrating the 40th anniversary issue as we speak, really. So it's all wondrous stuff there. I suspect the answer to this will be no, but Christine Perry, any ideas whatsoever about the Starburst magazine, the world of Starburst, or does it mean as much to you as the words XOXO Life Tour meant to me at the earliest part of the program?
I'm the second one, right. Unfortunately. Like, just looking at it, it reminds me, I don't offend, but it reminds me of Empire.
Fair enough.
Yeah? Is that...
There's nothing, we're both nudie magazines. Empire has a much larger budget and a much, shall we say, different policy, radically different approach. We are much more of the indie aesthetic. I think Starburst can cheerfully brag that news that and artists that Empire broke like this year we broke 3 or 4 years ago. Mm. But that's, you know, that's where we sit.
If you want cutting edge, you want Starburst. If you want passé, check out Empire. We had one of our guest speakers was the Empire Online digital editor recently, so all great stuff. And Rebecca, science fiction, fantasy, does that float your boat at all from the Italian perspective?
Well, I really like the Western movies, Western science fiction movies, comics. I think they're really interesting. I'm not too well-versed in them, but I really enjoy watching them and reading comics. And as I see from the magazine, it looks really nice. And I really like the bright yellow color, really stands out. Mm. From a public relations perspective, we learn all about design, and I really love the design.
Good to have yellow color. It's nice.
Yeah.
And so, Ed, as we sort of await the launch of Justice League, yes, it will be happening. The ongoing DC Expanded Universe scenario. Oh, dear, does that mean... Does the non-verbal communication I'm getting from Shaley there mean you're not necessarily looking forward with the anticipation that perhaps we'd anticipated?
That what? Me? Couldn't be.
Or is it just a case of having seen Thor Ragnarok, you think there's nothing more on that?
Don't spoil it.
I see, Christine, Thor Ragnarok, you've checked out.
I haven't checked out yet, but I'm so excited.
You got Doctor Strange, you got Black Widow, you got a whole heap of other. You got Stan Lee as a hairdresser. No
of
spoilers.
Course. Yeah.
But, you know, he is the war.
He's just showing off now, isn't he?
and the interaction between Stan Lee and James T. Kirk's father, George Kirk. See the crossover there? It's wonderful. Yeah. So, have you seen it as yet, Ed?
I have. It's an awful lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with it. Jeff, it's. We call it Thor Ragnarok, but it's really, you know, Thor Jeff Goldblum and Rock, let's be honest. Because
nice.
It's all about the Jeff. Yeah. And he's marvellous in it, and it's fantastic. The understated humour is really good. Obviously, some of the scenes are particularly clever because of the director involved. And it's just fun, and it's funny. Everyone gets to have fun. I think there's been a lean towards the kind of Guardians of the Galaxy aesthetic when it comes to the more cosmic movies.
There is a moment in this movie that sums up the experience of watching it perfectly. Suddenly sucked through a dimensional portal in space to the lair of a genocidal DJing despot, our hero experiences a cosmic version of the notorious kiddie-scaring chocolate riverboat ride from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Nice
work. What a love.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually written by Michael Caldwell, you see, because it's in the online starburstmagazine.com information there about Thor Ragnarok. So great. Who knows what Richard Fitzwilliams will say as our film critic tomorrow morning.
Oh, I'm excited. He's either going to love it or hate it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and he also wants to talk about Florence, which is great stuff there. Mm. One book that I was particularly impressed that you'd actually given thumbs up to is the Comic Book Guide of Dave Gibbons, which obviously impressed you, and that might well persuade me to actually purchase that one, actually on the basis of that and the Green Lantern cover, of course, which was wonderful.
Nice.
It's a marvellous wee handbook, I would say. I mean, I've got quite a few semi-academic and, you know, semi-professional style comic books about comic books on my shelf. I would rate it next to Comic Invention, to be honest, as a worthwhile guide to have. It doesn't have any revelations, it just has lots of really good things that you can dive into. It's an exceptionally good primer, and it deserves to be on your shelf because it's a good insight into one of the masters of the art, and it's also, if anyone in your life is into comics and maybe wants to produce comics, it's a really handy thing to give them. It's also very pretty.
Or sequential storytelling, or indeed graphic narratives, or any of those particular lines that are actually there. And who would have thought that Watchmen is going to be reimagined as a TV series?
No way.
It's in the pipeline.
Epic graphic novel.
In the pipeline. Yeah. A stunning news as the fact that one of our network DVD people, who is going to be joining us hopefully in December, to talk about the treat that's available for fans of the Prisoner series with the release of In My Mind. I don't know if you've caught that as yet, Ed, the documentary featuring interviews with the late Patrick McGoohan and his daughter Catherine.
I have not, but it's one of the things I do plan to catch up with soon.
Yeah, well, again, I would have thought it's quite interesting that Tim Beddoes is currently in Argentina, which is why he's not on the show tonight. There we are.
Oh.
Argentina. So, that's away from the rich tapestry of various other species. A special plug, of course, for Sci-Fi Scarborough, our mutual friend there, because it was your good self, Ed, who actually introduced me to the joys of Sci-Fi Scarborough, which is already booking guests for 2018, and that's all great news. So, thumbs up there for the team there.
Fingers crossed I'll be there, but I don't know as yet.
Well, before that, of course, For the Love of Sci-Fi is happening in Manchester. And we've just had confirmation that the organisers are For the Love of Sci-Fi with William Shatner and David Hasselhoff in the same building.
Will the building explode, though?
You got Knight Rider and Star Trek. I mean, in fact, it's so exciting. Christine
is William Shatner still alive?
Oh, please. Please.
You don't so much meet William Shatner, you experience William Shatner.
That sounds kinky.
No, please. We've already had that discussion with Arthur Weingarten. Before she actually leaves the studio, without so much as by your leaving, people say we've actually sort of smuggled her off into some sort of scenario there. Shaylee, would you like to just quiz Christine about how she's found the 55 and a half minutes of the programme that she's been part of
indeed
today?
Christine, have you enjoyed your little foray into radio today?
Yes, it was different.
Do you want to? Would you like to come back?
I wouldn't mind if I just prepare myself.
Yeah, psyched herself up. Yeah. Listen to some of the Brave New Words podcasts of Ed on the iTunes scenario. Still haven't managed to listen to any of those. I'll explain why.
Facebook group, but
it's good. But it's getting your computer to actually accept the changes to take iTunes. That I find very challenging. Yeah. Sorry,
you can find it on Stitcher as well. If you use an Android device, you can also find it on Stitcher. And there should be links on the Facebook group. But, we use Stitcher for Android users if you have problems with iTunes.
You have to send me that link then, and then I can...
Don't you have an Android tablet?
I can binge. Well, I do, yes.
Yeah, but you can listen to that.
Finally, I've confessed. You know, we had confessions earlier with the golf ball scenario. Not for me, it has to be Ed, and it wasn't anything sordid, before you're wondering, Ed. You know, what's golf ball?
You never know with William Coles, though.
Yeah. But yes, we will work our way through that whole process. Anything else you'd like to flag up, apart from, of course, the ace magazine that is Starburst, which is Justice League. It's got so much Justice League good stuff in there, and positive reviews for Star Trek Discovery, which is going to go down very well with Larry Nemechek, and indeed our new writer and Warhammer correspondent and fellow academic at the University of Lincoln, who's with us tomorrow morning. That's Chris Downes. He writes all the Treknology stuff for the Titan magazine production, Star Trek the magazine. Nice.
Talking of Warhammer 40K, Mike Brooks, the sci-fi author, has started writing short stories for it, and that's kind of exciting.
It's just a celebratory thing. You see, good material is there, despite the challenges that Arthur Weingarten was referring to with respect to unsavoury show business characters. We step away from that, absolutely step away from the whole thing. It's not good. Ed, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed. It's always a pleasure.
Rebecca, has Ed convinced you to actually try Starburst magazine and maybe sort of open up a whole new cultural and indeed send it to your parents in Italy and spread it throughout the Italian area?
Definitely. It has really good reviews in here, gives me a good idea what's out there, so definitely we'll be checking that out.
Win-win situation, that's brilliant. So I take it, Ed, you will return as well in the near future?
Oh, absolutely.
Yay!